Once again, if you have your Bibles with you, we are back in the book of John. I love it. I love topical series. You know, I kind of go through in them and out of them. But I love preaching through verse by verse book of the Bible. And we started in John last year. And if you remember, we've only had the first couple chapters in the book of John at this point. So just kind of as a recap, when we started the book of John, we started with the Word's existence in the world, and that the Word was with God. And we looked at John the Baptist and his role into sharing who Christ was, witnessing the light of Christ to the world around him. John spoke of the incarnation of the Word, which is Jesus Christ becoming flesh. We moved on from there and we heard about the baptism and the testimony of John's declaration that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ, as he started walking in his ministry, he invites Andrew and Simon Peter as his first disciples. We talked about that last year. We have spoken about the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine, and the cleansing of the temple because of the merchants, and speaks about the temple's destruction and resurrection when Jesus Christ was sharing that, which is foreshadowing the death and resurrection of Christ. Later on, Jesus has the conversation with Nicodemus about the necessity of being born again. And last chapter, in chapter 4, Jesus has the encounter with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, where he shares this offer of living water in her life. And we ended with Jesus healing the official's son when he returned to Galilee. So we've already seen in these beginning chapters of the Gospel of John that Christ is moving. Christ has shown miracles. Christ has been present. And today we're going to continue this. And we're going to actually start in chapter 5. And we're at the healing at the pool. And this pool is the pool of Bethesda. Sorry, I'm going to correct my verbiage when I read it. Bethesda. And was located in Jerusalem. And this pool believed to have healing properties. And people would wait around this pool. If you've seen Chosen, this is depicted very well in that series, where people are just waiting around the pool of water. And I tried to find a picture of it. There's so many different pictures kind of showing what it was, but I forgot. But if you've seen Chosen, they really depict it well. And the pool, being located in Jerusalem, there's been archaeological digs that have proven and confirmed the existence of such pools in the area, which is enriching our understanding of this cultural and historical context of the story we're about to read. So let's start together this morning. We're going to be in John 5, starting in verse 1 through 15. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who has been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is a great story of who Christ is and how he is willing to help us, how he is willing to take you from the situation you're in. But sometimes we have to be willing to stop seeing where we are and focusing on the only solution we think we have. This man at the pool only saw in the moment that if he didn't get to the water, all he knew was that's the only way he can be healed. And Jesus showed him that there's another way through Jesus Christ. So in verses 5 and 6, when we read, "One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. I'm 39, almost 40. The day is quickly approaching. But that's my whole life almost. That's a long time. And when Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And that question starts off with, He's looking at the man's condition and asking him, "Do you want to get well?" Because after 38 years, he might say he wants to get well, but does he really? Is he in the mindset? Jesus wants us to recognize our own conditions and the necessity for change. When we acknowledge the situations that we wish to escape, we need to set the stage for transformation. So think of a time where you felt stuck in your life, where you felt, you know, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual. So much like this invalid man in the pool, how often do we need a wake-up call like this? How often do we feel, or what would it be like in your life if God came to you in your situation, in your life, and said, "Do you want to be healed?" That makes it so different, doesn't it? A lot of times the human condition is we are waiting for this response. We are saying, "We need this. We want to be fixed. We want to be healed. We want the situation we're in to turn." But Jesus Christ knew enough to ask this man, "Do you want to be healed?" Because in the condition he's in the current state he's in, there's a difference between just physically wanting to be healed, but mentally changing the mindset that this man is in to be healed, to be truly healed. This man is thinking physical, and Jesus is asking him to his spirit, "Do you want to be healed?" So over the course of 38 years, this man spent so much time trying to find healing without resolve. If I just get to the pool, if I just get carried, if I just get put there, I will be healed. But in doing that, he created his own barriers. If this happens, I can be put in the situation to be healed. I want to be healed, but if nobody carries me, I won't be healed. I want to be healed, but if this situation doesn't happen first, I can't be healed. And the man replies when Jesus comes to him, and in verse 7 we read, "Sir," the invalid man replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And it doesn't say specifically that this man lost faith, but let's ask ourselves the question. Jesus didn't ask him how to get healed. How are you going to be healed? His response to how are you going to be healed would be, "Oh, well, if I get brought down to the water, I'm healed." Jesus didn't ask him that. Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" Simple question, simple answer, yes or no. But the man in his condition was saying, "If this happens, I will be healed. I need these steps to take place to be healed." But Jesus went up to this man instead of all others around the pool and asked him. And why is that? There's this pool with many disabled people, not just this man. But Jesus came to him. Jesus came to him in his time of need. And while we don't know what this man was feeling, I also feel that it was also from this man's heart that there was a true desire to be healed. But he had over 38 years created barriers for himself that he couldn't figure out how to get past. But Jesus saw his heart and knew that he wanted to get healed. But sometimes our life, the things that we put in front of us, the things that we make as a problem, cloud our judgment, that even if we were simply asked by Jesus himself and says, "Do you want to be healed?" How many of us would be like, "Yes, but I can't because of this. I can't because of that." So when we hear of John the Baptist's testimony and John's declaration that Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? And Jesus Christ invited Andrew and Simon Peter and his disciples. He went through all these things. He turned water into wine. News travels. And in this moment, Jesus knew by healing this man, it would not only help the man, but think about all those around him. How many people did the paralytic man come into contact with over 38 years that were maybe in a bad situation? Maybe their situation wasn't as dire. Maybe they gave up on waiting for this pool to happen. But maybe they know of this man that's been there for 38 years. And Jesus comes to him and offers him a solution because think about it. By healing this man, how many others were impacted? Oh, if he could change after 38 years, what can God do for me? This is amazing. Versus maybe instead, what if he went and healed a guy with a cold for a weekend? Maybe he took some Tylenol. But God choosing him also signifies the ability for God to use the simplicity of healing to reach many by healing one. To heal a man who was invalid for 38 years would be this tremendous thing to see. And those around would also see what was offered by Jesus Christ and witness that their healing doesn't need to come from the pool. They were all waiting for this. And also, this man, as we said, may have lost a little hope. over time, over 38 years, I would imagine he lost a little hope. I'm never going to get to the pool. No one's ever going to carry me. Everyone's thinking about themselves. All these thoughts in his head. But Jesus asked the man simply, do you want to get well? But rather than the man saying, yes, I want to get well, the man gave the excuse as to why he couldn't. The man replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So, first off, when we read the Bible, a lot of times we read it pretty generically, let's be honest. If we're listening to it, bless you. But if you're listening to it, at times it reads a little differently. We have a lot of dramatics, dramatic audio Bibles out there now. But imagine, just paint this picture in your mind, because when I read this, I feel like this man would have said it with hurt, with annoyance, with a little bit of anger. And he's like, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. Maybe there's this despair in his voice because he is putting his faith in this condition that he has to get carried to the pool that he can't get to. And this is so true for us. How many times does Jesus provide a solution, but we instead hold ourselves back because we are too focused on the problem? Instead of seeing the solution and we can say that we can be healed, we say we can't be healed until these areas are met. I can't get away from this addiction because I'm still in the lifestyle where the addiction is present. I can't change my life because of the environment I live in. I can't be successful in the situation I want because of the situation I choose not to leave. Or maybe there's times that we're putting faith into something else that is drawing us away from the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So we don't need other conditions to be met when we want to be healed. Jesus Christ is the solution, but you need to be willing to step away from the problem. You need to be willing to step away from your own desires, your own comfort. When we see the paralytic at the pool, instead of Jesus helping him to the water, which is what the man put his belief in, the man is now about to experience an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that is where true healing takes place. So our second point this morning is the encounter with Jesus. In verses 8 and 9, Jesus tells the man, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. So instantly the man is healed and obeys Jesus' command. And this encounter, it underscores this action-oriented faith, is how I'm going to phrase it. Okay? Jesus gives us a solution. And we not only have to be obedient to that solution, we have to take action in our faith to move away from what we're being healed from. If the man didn't get up and walk and chose to stay in his discomfort, or realistically, in his comfort. If he didn't get up and walk and just said, I don't believe you. I don't think I'm healed. How would he know? Unless he's truly believed that he was healed for one. But then there's an action step that takes place. He had to get up and walk. He had to take his belief and say, yeah, I've been healed, and put it into practice. He had to get up and walk. Jesus said, get up and walk. Get move. I'm healing you, but move. This pool has nothing for you. There's no sense in sitting here. Get up your mat and walk. Get away from the situation. Get away from the thing that you are putting power in your life and get away. Because what if the man just sat there and was like, I'm healed? How do we know? Because you're still sitting here. You're still sitting in the situation that you're in. So Christ offers us a solution in the same way, but it takes an action step. It takes an action step for us to move out of the situation, to move on from our current life habits, to move forward in our faith. So picture yourself holding on to this situation or this habit that seems immovable, and you just have it in your hand, and you're not letting go of it. And then Jesus commands you, you are healed. Get up and walk. You are healed. Let go of that and walk away from it. Ooh, I want to be healed. I didn't say I wanted to leave. I'm comfortable here. I've never let go of this. I don't know how. Have you ever seen those videos where, maybe it's not a video, I'm just making a video in my head, and I don't want to bring you guys there because it's really confusing and chaotic. How do I simplify this? Okay. Nope. All right. In a time or situation, let's say you're looking up, you don't know what's below you. You're 6 inches from the ground. You can't feel the ground below you. And you think that if you let go, you're going to fall forever. You're going to fall to your death. But there's someone who sees beyond what you see and is saying, you're fine. Let go. But you're like, nope. No, I'm not letting go. Because I don't know what's happening. I'm telling you, please just let go. You'll be fine. Just let go. The amount of that it takes sometimes to let go is often the hardest part of what we're going through. Because we get so comfortable into the condition that we're in that we'd rather have the discomfort in the bad situation than the comfort in Christ. Because to get to the comfort in Christ often requires us to get a little bit more uncomfortable before we become comfortable. So think about this. How often do we ask ourselves, Lord, help me, please. But we are too comfortable in the situation that we're in to change our condition. When God responds to your life and says, get up and walk, will you? Or will you say, oh, wait, I'm, thank you for healing me. But I like it here. This is all I know. And out there is scary. And I don't know how to change. And I don't want to change. I want to change, but I want to change here where I'm comfortable. How often do we do that? Our human nature is to worry about our comfort while Jesus is worried about our condition. Do you think Jesus Christ was comfortable knowing that he was going to go die on the cross? Do you think he was comfortable when he got nailed by his hands and feet to the cross with a crown of thorns shoved on his head? Do you think that was comfortable? No. But Jesus didn't worry about his comfort because he cared more about the human condition of sin in our life, that he was willing to pay with pain and blood to change our condition. And in order for us to change our condition, we need to be willing to get uncomfortable. If somebody told you that becoming Christian is all hunky-dory, unicorns and rainbows, played too much Candyland as a kid, because it takes discomfort a lot of times to get comfortable. I've said it before. For those who go to the gym and work out and want to do something and they want to build muscle and get more endurance, they go through the discomfort of working out to live a comfortable life in health as much as they can. But they are willing to go through the discomfort to change their condition. If we are unwilling to go through that discomfort, we will never change our condition. You can sit there all you want and say, Lord, heal me. Take me away from this addiction. Take me away from this situation. And God says, okay, get up your mat and walk. You need to take the action step and say, okay, I need to get up and walk now. I need to walk away from it. And if we think our discomfort is hard now, imagine the discomfort of those who are no longer with Christ for eternity, who spend an eternity without Christ. So not only is our discomfort we need to work through, we need to work through our discomfort to reach them, to reach those in the world as well, who do not yet know Christ, or don't yet know Christ in the right way. We live in a drastically changing world, and it's scary. One of my guilty pleasures that just fires me up, that I just probably shouldn't do it as much as I do, is I watch a lot of preachers who are false teachers. Not because I want to learn from them, but I'm trying to figure out what they are saying that is so impactful to people to lead them astray. Because the world is full of people. I just heard a preacher yesterday, and I sat with my wife, and I shared her the video, and I was like, this is crazy. And I'm not going to say names or anything like that, but his whole mindset was, what if God worships me? Are you kidding me? That's what's being shared? We're not meant to be worshiped. Worship is God and God's alone for what he's done for us. But we need to be willing to be uncomfortable to share the true message of Christ in the lives of those around us. And you also need to be willing to be uncomfortable to get out of the situation you're in, because if you stay in your situation, you say, Jesus healed me, and people are like, you're still sitting where you were before. You're still doing the thing that you were before. How is that showing somebody else that Christ heals and Christ changes lives if you don't change your life? Want to hear something really truthful that's going to hurt? If you don't want to change your life and live for Christ, don't call yourself a Christian. Because being a Christian takes an action step to be obedient to Christ. And to be obedient to Christ is to not live your life for you anymore. It's to live for him. This man was told, do you want to get well? And although his human condition told him, I can't get well, Jesus still, because Jesus is gracious and merciful, still offered this man hope. He offered this man a solution. Even though the man was focused on the pool, Jesus heard Do you want to get well? In between all of that, the man was saying, Jesus knew he wants to be healed. But Jesus gave him a solution that required him to take an action step. You are healed, but get up your mat and walk. It was from that point forward on the man to be obedient to Christ. And when he got up, the man stopped worrying about what the world thought. He didn't have any care in the world for what the world man-made rules were. He was just being obedient. He was doing something wrong on the Sabbath, but it's because Jesus said to do it and be obedient. So he was being obedient to Christ, even though the world saw it as disobedience. And that happens a lot. But our third point this morning is we need to respond to others in truth. And so verse 10 through 12 says, and the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? So the man was transformed by his obedience after he was provided an opportunity. And through that obedience, he was provided another opportunity to share the experience of healing with someone else. And he challenged the legalistic views that had overshadowed genuine faith. Imagine how easy it is to become blinded by rigid rules. And picture yourself holding onto these rules, these rigid rules in our lives. And the man didn't need to adhere strictly to the Sabbath laws that the world set, or that to go to the water to be healed. He only needed a transformative encounter with Jesus Christ. He didn't have to go anywhere. He just needed to accept Christ. The man obeyed, going against what the world said was to do. And when the man was asked about it, he simply told the truth. The man who healed me said, get up and walk. And once he learned more, when Jesus came to him later on and said, hey, you're doing well. Good job. I see that you took up your mat and walked. And the man now knows it's Jesus. He doubles down. He didn't just go, oh, that was Jesus. That's cool. He went back to those leaders. Oh, by the way, it was Jesus who healed me. Mic drop. I'll take Jesus Trump's worldview, world law, any day. Because he was being obedient to Christ in that moment. So if you follow the commands of Jesus in your life, you will and most likely will encounter pushback from those around you. People will say you're doing it wrong, or that the law is this and there's no place for that. The world will be against you. But the obedience comes from the transformative encounter with Jesus Christ in your life because of your condition changing. And while others may not understand it, you know that it came from the Lord. And you need to keep moving forward with that, because the right people will see that encounter that you had, and they will be impacted because of you. But you can't impact them unless you're willing to get your mat and walk. Unless you're willing to become a little bit uncomfortable. He did not care if he was breaking man-made laws, because Jesus Christ, who provided him the correction to his condition, gave him a way out, and this man obediently followed Christ when Jesus said to. So my question is to all of us, are we willing to do the same? When Jesus Christ gives you the option to accept him into your heart, to live a new life, to be transformed by him, are you willing to be obedient to him and take up your mat and walk. I don't know what your mat is in your life. I don't know what situation that might be in your life that is holding you from walking away. But the hardest part is letting go of that. Just let go and be obedient to Christ and walk away from that situation. So first, we need to acknowledge our condition. We need to honestly assess where we personally need change or healing in our life. And once we do that, once we have this acknowledgement that there is a condition we have that we need to change, we need to encounter Jesus. Seek him actively, knowing that transformation begins with a direct encounter. You need to encounter Christ. You need to accept him and say, I accept you, Lord. And then you need to respond in faith, because a lot of people stop at this. Oh, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. But the next step is to respond in faith. Let your actions reflect your belief in the power of Christ and share those experiences with all others around you. And by challenging legalism in our world, we can live out our faith authentically, which is demonstrating that the love of Christ overpowers the rules that we make that tend to block him from our life. So the story of the healing at the pool of Bethesda highlights the transformative power of Jesus Christ in our life if we're willing to recognize our own condition, respond in faith, share our testimony, and navigate the tensions between the world and a living relationship with Christ. So I'm praying, like, I'm going to let the worship team come up before we take communion. But I'm praying that as we move through the Gospel of John, as we continue to talk about this, that we will take that step. Maybe we're sitting here this morning and saying, I have accepted Christ, but I have not removed myself from the situation. I have not changed my condition at all. And I haven't taken my mat and walked away. I haven't gotten up and walked. I haven't been obedient to that step. I accept Jesus Christ, or maybe I haven't yet. Maybe you haven't even encountered Christ in your life yet. But I pray that this morning we choose to take the next step. What is your next step this morning? Do you need to accept Christ into your heart? Let's take that step. While they're getting ready, and when I pray right now before we get into communion, I'm going to pray that if you want to take the step to accept Christ into your heart, truly accept him into your life, you can do so. And then by doing that, I pray that as you encounter Jesus, that you truly respond in faith in your life. It's not going to be easy to walk away from the life that you're living without Christ, but it will be worth it. Through the discomfort that we have to condition ourselves is worth it. I don't know if any of you have ever been in endurance training or whatnot, but I will tell you right now, I despise running. I don't like it. I'll run for my life as long as I can until I fall over. And hopefully the person behind me is slower. That's all I can do. But I remember a time where I was running so much in the military that it became second nature. If we were ever told in school, hey, we're doing a 12-mile run today, okay. 20-mile run, okay. Didn't matter. Because I was conditioned to go whatever distance they wanted. But it took time. I didn't ever run like that. And then as soon as I stopped running, think I'm going to run 15, 20 miles now? I couldn't run to the end of this street. I can. It'd be a lot slower pace. But it takes conditioning. Today is not going to be the easiest, but tomorrow can be easier. And not easy in the way of you're going to have less coming at you. You're just going to be conditioned to understand it better. You're going to be conditioned to know that Christ is the answer. You're going to be conditioned to know that Christ has the ability to protect you from all those situations. And while it may sting and hurt, you're like, ha-ha, Jesus Christ is more powerful than you. And he's on my side now. So this morning I'm going to pray before we take communion. And if that's you, I just pray that you would have the faith to accept Christ. And if you've accepted him, I would pray that this morning this prayer would be your choice to make and take that action step to move and get up and walk. Let's pray.